Hi, I'd like to welcome all of you here today to this free training. Today we're going to be looking at how free is sabotaging your success, and you'll discover how to take back control. The session will be presented by Sharon Hayes. I can think of no better person than Sharon to share with you some powerful thoughts on ideas on this topic. Let me tell you a bit about Sharon. On a business side, Sharon has built multiple businesses over the last 20 plus years in areas ranging from audiobooks, software distribution, financial publishing, email marketing, social media, domain names and branding, and many others. Her client list, past and present, reads like a who's who and includes Porsche, IBM, Tom Peters Company, Minute Maid, Kipasa.com, Harvard Business School, and thousands of others. Sharon is also prominent in social media with almost 140,000 Twitter followers, and she's listed in HubSpot's top 5 most influential women on Twitter, and Huffington Post has featured her among business influencers on Twitter. I'll go ahead and turn things over to Sharon now.
Hey, everyone. Thanks so much to each and every one of you for being here with us today. And thanks so much, Steve, for that lovely introduction. Wow, looking at the people here, fabulous to see so many of you live with us on this webinar. Great to see a lot of names that I recognize. We're going to be spending about an hour together on this webinar. I want to give you a rundown of what we're going to be going over. I want to start off by sharing with you some of my personal background when it comes to free and how I put together the Converting Free to Paid program. And it'll help you as well understand the training portion of what's ahead to know where I'm coming from. Then I'm going to get into explaining the 7 reasons why I can't do free and why you shouldn't either. We're going to take a look at the psychological and emotional issues associated with free requests. I'm going to share with you some insight into why people ask you for free help. And you know what? The real reason may shock a lot of you. I'll be giving you my secret litmus test. This one thing can help you remove guilt when saying no to people. And in many cases, you won't even need to say no. You'll learn how to generate quality prospects that translate into paid business. And then I'll give you some tips on creating your personal playbook so that you'll be well equipped to handle just about anything that comes your way. After we go through all of this, we're going to have a Q&A session at the end, so make note of any questions that may come to mind so that you can ask them at the end. For those of you who stay on this webinar to the end, I have a very special bonus that I know many of you are going to love. Back on the questions, one thing I want to mention, if you want to ask questions or give comments, it's on the right-hand side of your screen. You don't have to raise your hand. You can just type them in the box, and we'll see them on this end. Just be aware that I'm probably not going to touch on questions until the end of this. I want to start off by sharing with you a little bit about my personal story. I've always intentionally been an under-the-radar type person. I've had success in business, but I really prefer being out of the limelight. In late 2008, that changed for me as I started to become more known and prominent in social media. Now, I had personal accounts on social media, and I used them basically like a water cooler to relax. I shared music, links of things I was reading, quotes, just stuff that interested me. I didn't use it for self-promotion per se or to drive business intentionally to my various businesses. So my personal accounts weren't something that I used for intentional business networking or self-promotion. Now, for years prior to social media, I'd already been getting a lot of requests from friends, family, and acquaintances to give them free help on things. You know, they knew I was in business and had a question about X, Y, or Z. But as I became more and more known due to social media, I started getting in more free requests. The thing is, I really like to consider myself a nice person, so I found it very difficult to say no. And then what happened was like this whole snowball effect of things just compounding. I went from spending about 4 or 5 hours in a typical day on actual work to spending double the amount of time on my computer. I had got my first mobile phone when I was like 21 or 22, and I'm 45 now. And I ended up a few years ago just getting so upset with, you know, the incoming volume and being connected all the time that I dropped my iPhone by mistake once and I didn't replace it. And the new phone that I got wasn't a fancy smartphone. I don't go on social media with it. I very rarely will give out the number to people just because of this whole overload experience that I felt I was dealing with. And what happened is the more and more time I was spending on social media, I was spending more and more time helping people. It was, you know, getting tweets on Twitter and DMs on Twitter and PMs on Facebook. And then I ended up jumping on Skype several times a day, having conversations with people or the regular telephone. And the thing is I was getting new business from social media, but most of the business I was getting was because of being visible on social media rather than because of the free things I was doing. So I really felt trapped. You know, I'd have people that would come to me and they'd ask me for help once and they'd come back again and again. You know, it was never ending with some people. I'd have people complain to me that I didn't give them enough time. I'd spend time helping people who did nothing at all with the things I was helping them with. And, you know, it just got to be too much. The situation just plain sucked for me. So what did I do? At the time, I really looked high and low for something like converting free to paid, but there was nothing like this around. I had to dig deep to get answers. I researched a lot. I watched what other people were doing. I read a lot of psychology books. I came up with a personal game plan. I implemented the game plan. I tweaked it. Whoa, the end result was after probably 4 or 5 months on this journey of really immersing myself into finding out how to deal with it, I started finding that I was a lot happier. I was able to spend a lot less time on free, and the free things I did do were directly tied into income generating activities, meaning I wasn't wasting time one-on-one with people on free things that weren't going to produce actual results. Most of my non-work time became about spending time on my passions rather than on someone else's. Maybe you're where I was. Maybe it's not the same volume, but it's still causing you stress. I hope to provide you with some relief from the stress today. Here's what I want us to accomplish here today, to help you to understand how giving things away all the time can be hurting you, it can be hurting the people you give them to, and it can be hurting the people you care most about. Plus, you'll find out how it can be working against you rather than for you when building your business. We'll get a bit into the psychological and emotional issues of free so you can better understand what you're feeling and how it can be damaging. Finally, I'm going to give you some tips and ideas so that you can relieve stress when it comes to free requests. Hopefully some things that you can take action on starting immediately. I hope that as soon as you're finished on this webinar, you're going to feel much more relaxed, confident, and you'll have a solid understanding of what you need to do moving forward. So let's move on by looking at the 7 reasons why I can't do free and why you shouldn't either. First, there's the time that it takes. Many people who ask for free help from other people don't consider the time that it takes. I know they think, this is a simple question, it shouldn't take long to answer, so it shouldn't be an inconvenience. I'll give you an example of one recent PM that I received actually just this morning. Hi, Sharon, if you have a minute or two sometime in the next day or so, I have a question for you in regards to the value of 4letter.com domain names, which are currently at auction through GoDaddy. There's one that's a perfect fit for my blank. The bidding starts at $5,000 and ends in 2 days. So far, there's one bidder. I think I know who it is, and they would likely be just redirecting to their 2-word, 8-letter brand name if they purchased it. So I think and hope my product would be well received, but would it be worth it, do you think, for someone who could spend $5,000 but not without a severe dent in savings to bid on a 4letter.com? I suppose I could always try to resell it if I did end up getting it and was in dire need of dollars at a later time. Really? That's going to take me a minute or two. It took me more than a minute or two, I think, to read it. Never mind figure out what exactly he was asking. So going back to what I was saying on the time issue, here is exactly why time becomes an issue. Let's take a look at the math for a minute. Let's say you get just 3 people a week who ask you for free help. One person might take you only 5 minutes to help, but another may take an hour or more. Let's say overall this works out to 30 minutes per person with 3 people. That's 90 minutes a week. Over the course of a year, that's 78 hours, or about 2 working weeks. I don't know about you, but you know, most entrepreneurs that I know don't even get 2 weeks vacation a year. What's the value of that time worth to you? If your hourly billing rate is $50 an hour, that's $3,900 a year. If you make more than $50 an hour or bill more than $50 an hour, obviously the numbers are going to be a lot higher. Oh, Adam just shared a message here and he said, just before getting onto this webinar, I just spent 90 minutes helping my brother for free. Ha ha. Yeah, I'm sure it's something that most of us can relate to. And, you know, I think the number of three people with 90 minutes is conservative for a lot of you. There's another aspect to this, too, on the time side. I don't know about you, but I know that there's rarely enough of hours in a day for me to do all of the things I want to do. And before I started to figure out how to deal with free requests, I find myself short on time to do the things I wanted and needed to get done because I somehow felt obliged to help all these other people asking me for free help. So let's move on to the second issue. It takes away from your paying customers. Often the things that people ask us to do for free are the things we do for money for our paying customers. For example, that PM from Facebook that I just read to you, that I just got in, that's the type of thing that we have people on our team that get paid to do. Now, how would your paying customers feel if they knew you were giving your services away to others who asked for help? I've had people tell me that they lost longtime customers after they found out that they did free work for other people. Would you want this to happen to you? And how would you feel if you paid somebody for something and then you found out that they were doing it for free for someone else? Not very good, right? So there's a third factor here about giving things away for free. It zaps your creative juice. Now, we all have limited bandwidth. We each of us have only so many truly productive hours in a day. In my own case, what I've discovered is that on average, I can get in about 5 solid productive hours in a typical workday. By productive, I mean, you know, Zoom full on bang. It's like a bank for me, though. Every day, I start off with this reserve of about 5 hours. And as I work through the day, the reserve gets depleted. But it gets depleted at a faster rate whenever I have to shift gears. And when I have to shift gears more frequently, then the bank depletes more rapidly as well. So if I had a day where all I did was answer these 5 or 10 minute requests, then what would end up happening is that I might be able to do 20 of them in a day, and I get in a typical day maybe 20 of them, and I wouldn't be able to get anything else done productive. A complicated, simple request might mean that I need to do an hour of background thinking to figure out an answer. It might mean 20 minutes of research. It might mean a whole bunch of back and forth with a person. It might mean contacting one or more people for input. Like that example where I just read that PM from someone, that's not a simple answer. I'd need to go back and ask for additional information in order to be able to answer them. So one of the things here to consider is that if you're active on social media like I am, part of the issue with all of this is that people see you're being active and that you're engaging, so they assume that we have all this time available. The thing is that bantering with people about our days, talking about the weather, griping about something, saying something's good, talking about what you ate for dinner last night or whatever, the weekend or some current event topic, that doesn't require the same amount of creative energy that work does. This is mental downtime for many of us. It doesn't impact what we can get done in our day. But as soon as we have to put our thinking cap on, even if it's a simple question, then it becomes a different story. That zaps our creative juice and it cuts into our bandwidth. Okay, so number 4. Most people don't value things they can get for free. There's been so many times where I have helped people. In some cases, I've spent an hour or more. I've spent half a day, a full day, sometimes several days over a period of time with someone because I thought they genuinely needed the assistance. The thing is that when I followed up to see how things were going with whatever it was that they asked for help with, most of the time, they didn't take any action after I helped them out. Often these were cases where someone would get fired up about an idea. They reached out to me before they even thought things through themselves. But when it came to actually doing anything, they lost their enthusiasm. Have you ever experienced this with someone where you helped them out And then when you checked with them later, you found out that they didn't do anything. Now, there's going to be some people who really sincerely value free assistance. But is it up to us to provide free help to anyone who asks for it on the basis that a small percentage of people are going to actually put it to use? I don't think so. Fifth, I'm a professional who works online. Now, I don't mean to sound egotistical or anything here. I'm not at all. It's just reality for me. I've worked my butt off to make it through business school. I had to work full-time in conjunction with school pretty much from my teens. I've been in business now for over 20 years. I've paid my dues. I've worked my way up. I'm a professional. My knowledge and my expertise, even if it's simply a matter of answering one question, it has value. It may have taken me over 2,000 working hours just to have the knowledge to answer a brief question skillfully. Customers who pay me for my knowledge contact me through the same methods that those who want assistance for free do. Like that guy that PM'd me that I read the example of. I have people routinely that will PM me and say, hey, how can I use your services because this is what I'm dealing with. And, you know, in his case, do you have a minute or two for something that, hey, this is something we actually charge for. The internet is my office. You wouldn't expect a doctor, lawyer, accountant, or other professional to provide free assistance. And I want to be treated with the same respect, and you should be too. I don't know exactly what you do for a living, but I can tell you that your attitude about being a professional will impact your own success. You have to value your expertise and your knowledge as if you were a lawyer or doctor. If you don't do this, it's going to be really difficult to get others to. Have you ever had this happen to you? You spend time helping someone out on something, and then a week later, days later, or even hours later, they're back at you wanting even more help. I found that the nicer I've been about helping people, the more frequently they come back to me for assistance. And before I started saying no to everyone, this was one of the biggest reasons I get burned out helping other people. I mentioned this earlier when I was relating my personal story. This was a huge source of stress for me. The problem is this, once you open up the door to giving free help to an individual, it becomes more difficult to say no later on. The no isn't going to be as well received. Let's say something like this happens. Somebody comes to you once, twice, three times, whatever, and you've helped them out, and finally you've had enough, so you say no. Chances are that saying no at that point is not going to be as well received as if you said no the first time. At least that's been my personal experience. The last point I want to make here encompasses quality control, responsibility, and reputation issues. Let's take a look at quality control first. I can't speak for you, but I know that I pride myself on doing as excellent a job as is humanly possible at everything I do. It's impossible for me or you or anyone else to do things for free and maintain the level of quality we'd like to. Of course, that's unless we don't have a business or we don't have any clients or anything to do with in our business. Now consider responsibility issues. When you offer slipshod free advice, you're opening yourself up to responsibility issues you shouldn't be willing to take on, not if someone isn't paying for your service. Let's say if it should have taken me an hour to research something appropriately, but I shortcut it to 5 minutes, I end up missing something significant. I tell the person the 5-minute answer. They act based on this advice. It ends up being wrong. Where are my responsibilities here? What damage could be done to my reputation if this person went public and said I gave them wrong advice? In some cases, I could even be opening myself up to legal issues. Focusing on the big picture, I went through all of these points for a very specific reason. Often when people ask us to do things for free, we're so focused on the here and the now of the situation, of not wanting to disappoint other people, of not wanting to feel bad in some way, we forget about all the bad that fulfilling free requests can bring. We forget that we lose time, energy, we aren't really helping those we think we are, we may be hurting those we care about, we may be damaging our business and reputation and so much more. This brings us to the next topic I want to touch on, the psychological issues associated with free requests. You're on this training webinar because on some level, you must be having difficulties with free requests. Now there's a handout I asked you to download and print out. What I'd like you to do now is take a minute to jot down at least 5 emotions or feelings you have regarding free requests. Here are some examples. You may feel anxiety, stress, overwhelm, not wanting to disappoint. Go ahead and write 5 things down. I'll give you a minute now. You have 5 things? Keep writing. Okay, did you do the exercise? Great. I want you to feel assured that all of these negative emotions and feelings can go away once you get a feeling of control over the situation. It's happened for me. I know it can for you too. What I want you to understand is that most of these feelings are unwarranted. The world won't end if we say no. The world won't end if we steer people to our paying services or products. It's really not going to happen. But let's consider possible outcomes. What's the worst thing that could happen if you say no to a free request? I want you to think of at least 3 things. What kind of thoughts run through your head when you think of saying no? Jot them down on the handout. Here are some examples. You'll lose your friendship with the person. They'll tell other people you're mean. They'll say no to you at some point in the future. I'd like you to spend some time on this part after the training's over. Go back on each thing you've listed and ask yourself, is this the truth? Is this what could really happen? So can you take a little bit of time right now and anything off the top of your head, just make a note of it? You'll lose your friendship with the person. They'll tell other people you're mean. They'll say no at some point in the future when you need help. And then go back and whatever you put on your list afterwards, ask yourself if this is the truth. Is this what could really happen? Now, I can't promise you that you'll never face some flack for turning people down. But what I can tell you is I've never lost a true friend and I've never suffered serious long-term consequences by saying no to anyone. On the road to being better able to tackle free requests from an emotional standpoint, it's important to understand the reasons why people may ask you for free help. There are a lot of different reasons, but there's 2 common ones I encounter quite a bit, and you probably do too, and they're ones that may shock you. And these are ones that are pretty difficult to understand on some level, but by understanding them, I hope it's going to make it easier to decline their requests. The first one is about bonding. Now, this can happen with someone close to you, or it could be someone that's a stranger to you. These people believe that by asking you for help, it can actually bring the two of you closer. In many of these cases, they aren't actually interested in what they're asking you to help them with, but they're interested in forging a better relationship with you or being able to interact with you on a more personal level. The second reason is something I like to call false proximity. It's something more prevalent online than it is offline, but we will see it happen in both cases. This is about situations where someone believes that they're closer to you than they actually are, so they feel it's okay to ask you for free help. For those of you more active in social media, you probably are discovering that a good number of your brain-picking requests are due to this. Let me give you an example of this. Someone may see your tweets on Twitter or your Facebook status updates that you've never had personal contact with, but they think they know you and they consider you to be a friend. They may even consider you to be a close friend. So they think nothing of asking you for help, even if you don't really know them. Do you follow that and do you see how that could be an issue? And I think that, you know, this is a two-sided thing where working with people through the first run of converting free to paid as well as clients along the way, I've seen a lot of people where they, when I explained this concept to them, they had an aha moment and they realized that they were doing this sometimes. They were going to people asking them for help, thinking that that person was actually closer than what they were. When I came to the realization that at least 2/3 of the requests I received fell into one of these 2 categories, it was a breakthrough moment for me, and I hope it will be for you as well. It helped me to learn how to handle people much better without alienating them, and I was also more gentle and kind in my approach. One of the challenges for many people, and this includes me here too, is that it's hard enough to say no to strangers and acquaintances. But what do you do when it's someone close to you? What if it's someone that's a dear friend or they're a family member, for example? Sure, these are people we may genuinely want to help. We want to see them succeed. We want to see them make changes in their lives for the better, or whatever else we can do to help them. But going back to what I said earlier about people not valuing what they get for free, combined with the bonding issue I just addressed, there may be times when we shouldn't help someone. I want to share with you the litmus test I've developed. It's a way to remove guilt when saying no, especially for those closest to you. These are the people that you want to help, but only if you're not wasting your time and your energy. In fact, if you go through these steps with people and things progress as they should, once you've done it once or twice, what you'll find out is that you don't even have to say no at any point. It removes all of the stress associated with that. So it works like this. What you want to do is give them something to do that is task-oriented regarding what they're asking you for help with. And then what you want them to do is ask them to come back to you to talk about the next step after they've done this. What you'll often find is that most of the time, people won't follow through with whatever you told them to do. And what happens here is that saves you the trouble of even having to say no. If they do go back to you and they haven't done it, then you can gently remind them that for them to help you, they have to do the task first. Let me share with you some specific examples so that you'll better understand this. Let's say you're a personal trainer who specializes in rapid weight loss. Your sister is overweight, and finally one day she comes to you and says, yes, she's finally ready to lose weight. The old you may have been ready to spend several hours putting together a meal plan and exercise program on top of being there at her beck and call to answer questions, all the while knowing that the chances were she wasn't going to do anything with it, but you were excited at the prospect. The new you realizes that although she may want to lose weight, she may not be ready, and she's approaching you for the purpose of bonding. You tell her, great, you're excited for her and you're willing to help her, but first she needs to go through her fridge, freezer, and pantry and put together a list of all the food she has on hand. The idea being that the two of you can go through this list together to see what she needs to get rid of as a first step. Your decision as to whether to move forward or not with helping her is going to be based on whether she does this or not, and she shows her actual commitment. Let's take another example. Let's say you're a website designer and your best friend wants to set up a blog. You've seen often enough that she has big ideas but little follow through. She's asked if you could help her install WordPress and set everything up. What would you do here? Well, instead of just diving in and helping her out, you might want to get her to do a couple of tasks like go to Theme Forest and make a list of themes she likes. Then she can run the themes by you and you'll help her shortlist that list. Then she can pick a theme out to match her budget and then buy it. And then once she's actually bought it, then you're going to help her. So are you getting an idea here that you're basically just, you're not turning them down, you're giving them something to do to help them move themselves forward and show their commitment on their side? I want us to talk a little bit about social situations. Social situations can be a real challenge for us when it comes to brain picking and free requests. A big issue here is that for a lot of us, genuine paying customers can start off as people asking for free help in situations like this. So how exactly do we handle it? For example, let's say if you're at a conference, a networking event of some kind, or even when dealing with people on social media. What you'll often find can happen is that when you tell people what you do, or they find out what you do, all of a sudden they have this whole slew of brain-picking questions come out of nowhere. So what do you do so that you're not going to waste time? Well, I want to talk a bit now about how to generate quality prospects in situations like this that translate to paid business. And the answer or reason that we want to do this is pretty simple. We want to eliminate the tire kickers and we want to eliminate the time wasters. You're probably familiar with the concept of the elevator pitch. Basically, this is where in a very short period of time, you tell people who you are and what you do. The thing here is that most people's pitches aren't really geared to generating quality prospects, but instead, they more often lend themselves to being on the receiving end of brain-picking requests. I want you to pay close attention to what I'm about to explain. If you do any kind of networking, either online or offline, this can make a tremendous difference in the quality of prospects you'll attract. You'll find yourself opening up many more doors to pay business. When people ask us what we do, the typical response is to say what our profession is. For example, you may say you're a social media strategist, you're a graphic designer, you work in PR, and so on. What I'd like is for you to give this a try. The next time someone asks, what do you do? Turn it around and ask if you can ask them a question. Basically, someone says, what do? You answer them, can I ask you a question? Simple as that. I've never once had someone say no to this, and I've used this probably several hundred times. You likely won't either get a no from people because people will assume when you ask them this that your question is going to be tied into theirs. And it is, sort of. So here's what I want you to do. Once they say, okay, tell them I help people who, and phrase it in terms of the problems people have and how you help them solve it. Then close it off by asking them if they know of anyone who has whatever problem you help people solve. So let me repeat that again. So when somebody says, okay, sure, ask me whatever, tell them I help people who, and then phrase it in terms of the problems that people have and how you help them solve it. And then close that up by asking them if they know of anyone who has whatever problem you help people solve. This is such an effective method of generating quality prospects. It's incredible. I'll give you a personal example of this. One of the areas I've been active in for many years has been domain names. We have an entire company devoted to buying and selling domain names. Now, many people in our industry, when they're asked what they do, they probably say they're a domain investor, a domain reseller, or that they're a virtual real estate investor. I can bet that most of the time this results in one of three things happening. The conversation could die out at that point because they're not interested in domains. They have no idea what they are, or maybe it's just something that they have no interest in discussing. The next thing is the person says, oh, you're a cyber squatter or something like that. Or they turn around and ask you some questions about domain names. What I say is simply, I help people find the perfect domain based on the image they want to portray in their budget. Do you know anyone who's either starting a business or who has a business and may be interested in rebranding? Can you see how that works and how it can bring our company valuable prospects and referrals? I'd like you to refer to the handout again, and what I'd like you to do in the part where relevant for this section is I'd like you to take some time after this training to jot down some possible pitches of your own to use along with closing questions, and then practice them. See in real life when you're talking with people what works and what results in business for you. Okay, Sandy asked me, can you please repeat what you tell people? I guess you're referring to from the domain side. Okay, I'll repeat that more slowly, so if anybody wants to take it down. I help people find the perfect domain based on the image they want to portray in their budget. Do you know anyone who's either starting a business or who has a business and may be interested in rebranding? Okay, I hope that helps. Let's move on now to the last section, creating your personal playbook. We're going to be spending a good amount of time on this section, and it's just meant to help get you started in this area. A playbook is basically a script. It's a way for you to think of how to respond to people before you're in an actual situation so you'll be better prepared. What a playbook can do for you is pretty substantial. It can help reduce stress, anxiety. It can help you avoid feeling put on the spot because you have thought of answers beforehand. Let's take a look at a few different types of scripts you can create. First, there are probably some situations that you've run into where someone asks you if you can do something, sometimes even cases where they're willing to pay you, and you can't do it. You have to tell them no and decline their request. There may be situations where you don't have the time to take on a project. It may be outside the scope of your abilities, your expertise, and so on. You may not want to work with the person or the company. There could be any number of reasons why you want to say no. There's three basic steps to handling no with the no script. And after you signed up for this webinar, you had the opportunity to download a report that I wrote on how to say no. And that gives you more details about it. But for those of you that didn't get that, I want to run through these three steps and give you an example here. So the first step is you want to acknowledge the importance of their request. Once you've done that, you want to decline it politely. And in some cases, you may want to offer an alternate resource. So let me give you an example here. Let's say, for example, that you're a website designer and somebody that you know comes to you and says, I'm interested in having you design our website and put a bid in, but you're overloaded with projects at that time, so you have to say no. The first thing that you could do, the first step, is acknowledge the importance. So in this case, you would simply say to them, I really appreciate that you came to me and asked me to put a bid on this project, but unfortunately, the second step is I'll have to decline. But I do know that Mary, John, Joe, whoever is an excellent designer and they may be interested in your project. So that's the third step, giving them an alternate resource. So that's a pretty simple example. When you say no to people, the important thing to understand is that you don't need to give a reason why. Just be polite about it. And as I said, you want to make sure you acknowledge the importance of their request. So you just don't say, no, I can't do that, or no, I'm not interested. The next type of script is the insert question script. This is where you have free information available. Often we're approached for personal assistance when we have free information available somewhere that deals with a topic. What I do is I always have a list handy that links to blog posts that we've published. On the domain side, a common question I get is, how can I sell my domain names? I'll acknowledge the importance of their request. I'll tell them we have posts and videos available and where they could view them. And then I close by saying, if you need more personal assistance, my team offers consulting, and then give them a link to ordering paid service. Now I want to share with you some can I pick your brain scripts. If someone asks you to lunch or coffee to pick your brain, you can tell them you're not available and direct them to your paid programs or products that are designed to help people dealing with their problem. If you don't have any programs or products, but you do offer hourly services, you can tell them, I don't have time unless it's for business. If you'd like a consultation, my rate is whatever dollars per hour. If you get a lot of requests like this online, you can set up an online payment and booking with a site like bookfresh.com or bookio.com, and you can just direct people there. And a final way to deal with can I pick your brain requests, tell them you have a really heavy workload and ask them if they're interested in becoming a paid client. From there, you can direct them appropriately to your paid services. The next one is kind of an interesting one that for some of you, it may not be as big of an issue, but for me, it's a huge one. If you are friends with me on Facebook or watch some of my incoming tweets on Twitter, you'll see how often I get this. The can we do lunch to network script. Well, I spend a lot of time in Southern California, high population density. Pretty much every day I'm in California, I'll have someone I don't really know that well ask if we can do lunch for networking. More often than not, these turn into brain picking sessions where they basically expect we go to lunch and, you know, often they don't even pick up the tab for lunch. It's both of us paying and they expect the entire lunch that they can ask me questions to help them in their business. The thing is I do engage in a lot of networking, but I'm really cautious with it personally. I have to be careful because I only have so much time, just like you do too. And if I don't believe that a lunch can translate to being a valuable connection or actual business, I always say no. I don't have a choice. The way I handle it is pretty simple. You can adapt this to your own circumstances. I'll say something like, I'd love to do lunch, but I'm booked solid for the next couple of weeks. I'm sure it would be fun, and maybe we can connect at some future event. So this way, I'm sort of, you know, it's not really brushing them off as a person entirely, but brushing off the idea of getting together with them one-on-one. Now, it happens sometimes that people will occasionally come back and say something like, well, what about in 3 weeks? I'll respond, I don't plan that far out for social lunches since I have to keep my time available for paid business meetings. And, you know, that pretty well works in most cases. And the odd time, you know what happens? The person ends up saying they're interested in becoming a paid client at that point. So I've gone through a lot of examples here of different variations of scripts, and I really suggest you spend some time coming up with your own variations. You know the types of questions that people come to you with, and make up your own personal playbook. It's really so much easier to handle when people come to you and ask you to do things, or if you want to do lunch, or if you could answer this question or whatnot. When you have responses already, when you have this playbook and your scripts ready. So this wraps up the training portion of the webinar. I really hope that it's helped you and given you some insight and some actionable steps. Before I open up the floor to questions, I want to take a few minutes to share information about my Converting Free to Paid training program. If you enjoyed this session, I just touched the tip of the iceberg. Let me share some background information. About a year ago, I wrote a blog post about the 7 reasons why I can't do free. I wrote it because, in spite of having a good handle on the issue myself, I had many friends who told me they were struggling with free and brain-picking requests. The post resonated with a lot of people. I had over 1,000 social shares within 24 hours. I had dozens of comments and an even greater number of personal messages. I realized that a lot of people needed help and that many were feeling considerable stress. I put together the Converting Free to Paid program based on the questions and comments I received. If you find yourself frazzled by not being able to say no to people because of not being prepared, not knowing when to draw the line between free and paid, not knowing what you should be giving away and what you should charge for, not knowing how you can use free to generate paid business, I believe I can help you with my Converting Free to Paid program. I'll be tackling tough questions I've learned the answers to from personal experience and from helping dozens of others. Questions like, how can I avoid being put on the spot when people ask for help? Where do I draw the line between free and paid? How can I say no without upsetting him or her? How can I get comfortable with telling people this is my work, I charge X dollars an hour, and convert them to a paying client? How can I use freebies to get paying business? How can I make money from those who need help but can't afford my rates? How can I avoid the frustration of helping people who need and ask for it and then they don't follow through? There are 4 components to the program. Each of 3 consecutive weeks, you'll receive access to a new module which will continue to build on your foundation of knowledge. The modules are available in video format and you can download the MP3s to listen on the go. Modules are broken down into smaller segments, so you can go through the material at your own pace. And then in week 4, we have a live Q&A session. Each segment of the program contains PDF files you can print out and take notes on, and each module has worksheets for you to take action on. Finally, you'll receive a bonus, a series of videos I've created to help you create information products inexpensively that don't require a lot of technical knowledge. Let me go through the contents of each of the 3 modules so you'll better understand what exactly we're covering on the program. In module 1, we'll be looking at understanding why we have issues offering free help from an emotional standpoint and why it causes stress, laying out a game plan for using relationship-based rules for free versus paid, know what you should be charging for and what you should be giving away, how do things differ for a startup getting established versus an existing business, when you should offer a free consultation and under what circumstances, how bartering, masterminds, and swaps can fit into your game plan. Then in module 2, we'll be looking at developing a marketing funnel that helps you monetize more free, creating products below your hourly rate to ease people in, ways you can package your knowledge and expertise, how to use free requests to generate more paying leads, how putting out more free can help build a mailing list of hungry prospects, how to use FAQ pages and Q&A posts. And finally, in Module 3, we'll look at preparing responses to handle phone or in-person requests without panic, learning how to say no gracefully, we'll walk through a lot more on this, and how to phrase communications to elicit the right response. With this program, as with everything else that I do, I offer a personal guarantee, 30 minutes or 30 days, no questions asked. I like to claim that you risk nothing because of this special unconditional guarantee, but that's not entirely accurate. While it's true your financial risk is nothing, you will always risk time. That's why you'll love my 30 minutes or 30 days guarantee. Here's how it works. You can sign up immediately today and take advantage of the huge discount I'm offering. If you don't like it, don't even give me a reason. I don't even care if it's only 30 minutes after you sign up. Contact your support team and say, give me a refund and we will. Or you can go 29 days, 23 hours, and 59 minutes after the first module is released, and then you can ask for your money back. Again, you don't need to give a reason why. Here's what one of the attendees from the first run of Converting Free to Paid said about the program.
I learned a lot today. I took the first part of Sharon Hayes' course Free to Paid. This is seriously exactly the stuff I need, and I know that a lot of my fellow consultants could benefit from it too. Jump on board. It's not too late.
For those of you live on this webinar, I have a special bonus for you that you're going to love. I just kicked off a summer training program at earnmoredoingless.com. This is a 6-week program that will help you become more focused on your goals, improve your productivity, start to make more money, learn how to grow a team the right way, and how you can better leverage your assets. There's also a special segment for those of you who may be struggling in business so that you can turn your business around. This program works perfectly hand in hand with Converting Free to Paid. The two combined will help you see fabulous improvements in your business. And here's my special for you today. If you register for Converting Free to Paid right now, you'll be able to get a free ticket for Earn More Doing Less. Plus, by ordering right now, you can also save on the already low price of Converting Free to Paid. When our sales page goes live next week at convertingfreetopaid.com, registration will be increased to $197, so you can save an extra $50 right now. To take advantage of this bonus, go to convertingfreetopaid.com/bonus and enter the word bonus in the coupon box. You'll need to do this within the next 3 hours. So again, convertingfreetopaid.com/bonus and enter the word bonus in the coupon box. Okay, so that's the information on the Converting Free to Paid program. I want to open up the floor to some questions and answers. I see we've gotten in quite a few different things. Let me scroll through. I want to try and get an assortment of different questions here for everyone. And if you have any questions, you can type them in the box on the right-hand side of your screen. Okay, Maria asked, I didn't realize before this how much emotional baggage I had about brain picking. I knew it was causing me stress, but not the real impact. Okay, that's great, Maria. I'm glad that it's helped you. My question is this. Right now, a lot of my paid business starts off from brain picking requests. I'm not sure exactly where to draw the line between requests and telling someone they have to pay. Okay, let me catch my breath for a second. It's a really hot day here today. I'm in San Diego and I don't know, I'm inside right now with the air conditioning off so that you guys can hear me clearly, and it feels like it's 100 degrees or something crazy like that right now. Okay, so thanks, Maria. This is something that I actually go into great detail in Converting Free to Paid, the actual program. There's a lot of different paths you can take. The two most common are, first, you turn down all brain picking requests and steer them to your paying services, products, and whatever programs you have, or if you have any free resources to point them there. And that's what I focused on during the scripting portion of this training. The second way that you can go about it, and the one that a lot of people I've worked with have had success with, is to look at what the difference between free and paid work is. There's a link to a blog post I wrote that covers this that probably most of you have received by now. It's called How to Give and Get Paid. If you didn't get this, the link in for this yet via email, it should be coming up to you soon. Basically, it works like this. Paid work solves a problem. You provide specific detail about a problem and you offer a framework to solve it. By contrast, free offers general solutions. It gives a taste of a solution, but not all of the details. So it's much broader in scope. I look at it like this. Okay, the minute you need to start thinking about what someone's asking and processing a question, the minute you need to look something up, open a software program, go online, do anything beyond just answering their question as simply as if they were asking you, how are you doing today? That's where you want to draw the line and tell people that this comes under paid services. I hope that makes sense and that this helped you, Maria, and others that are on the webinar. Okay. Let's see another question. Okay, so we have a question from Mark. Really enjoyed this, Sharon. You covered a lot of information. What's in your paid converting free to paid program that you haven't talked about here? Okay, thanks, Mark. First of all, okay, there's a lot. I mean, you know, it's several hours in length, the program. There's a lot of action steps to go through. And, you know, I've just, like I said before, we've just covered the tip of the iceberg as far as information and the number of subjects. I get into much greater detail on the subjects we've covered today. I also spend a lot of time looking at relationship-based roles so that you won't just have scripts prepared for most situations, but that you're going to create scripts based on relationships. We also get into the good side of free, because there is a good side. You know, free, like I said, I do use free. I mean, you're on this webinar, or you're listening to the replay of the webinar, and this webinar didn't cost people anything, but there's good ways to use free and there's bad ways to use free. And I consider the good way to use free is being ways that are going to generate more paid business. Of course, you know, you still want to offer value at the same time. So we go through that in great detail in the program. We also go through how to use brain picking requests to help you build upon the free and paid program services and products you offer. So basically, how to deal with, you know, if you see people coming to you with different questions, how to sort them out so that you can create free and paid things around the questions you get. So, you know, Mark, there's a lot more to it than what we've covered here. Okay, another question. Okay, Allison has a question. You mentioned a couple of sites you can send people to if they want to book paid time with you. Can you repeat what those are? Sure thing, Allison. The two I mentioned are bookfresh.com and bookio.com. Bookfresh, bookfresh.com, and bookio is bookeo.com. Both of these sites allow you to accept appointments, automatically schedule appointments, and collect payment. I'm using Bookfresh myself. I have it linked on my Facebook page, and when people come to me for requests, I'm sending them there for things, especially when people say, you know, send me this vague, are you able to talk for a few minutes on the phone or something like that? And I say, sure, and I send them this link, and people actually use it to book paid time with me that way. You know, if you do that with somebody, it's kind of difficult on their side, especially if it's an acquaintance, somebody you really don't know that comes to you. And what are they going to do when you send them a link like that? Say, oh, I'm not interested in paying. You know, they either go forward with it or they don't. Simple. Okay, Ben said, not really a question, but I wanted to say I found myself laughing when you talked about outcomes. I never thought before of how I was imagining things that wouldn't happen. Thanks, Ben, and now you have me laughing. All of the emotional and psychological baggage we deal with from various places in business, you know, it can really be surprising. So I hope that it helps you moving forward and that I've helped get you on the path so that it's not going to be an issue for you. Okay, question from James. When you talked about the seven reasons and talked about responsibility issues, this is something that always concerns me with brain picking requests. I'm a lawyer, and yes, lawyers do get brain picking requests too, and often I'll get far into a discussion with someone before I realize it's specialized help. Any suggestions? Well, hi James. Maybe I shouldn't use the example of lawyers not getting requests. I do realize lawyers, accountants, and so on do, but it's much easier for most professionals, at least from my experience and what I've seen, to be able to turn it around to people and shift them into through appropriate channels. As a lawyer, it's likely that you offer some kind of free consultations already. So what I'd suggest that you do is, regardless of who's asking you for help, that you want to steer them towards one of these free consultations. This way, it ends up being in your office, under a controlled environment, and you can make sure you're not crossing professional boundaries here. This will also help make the transition easier to someone becoming a paid client as well. Okay, I see we still have some questions in the queue, but I wanted to really keep this well under an hour so that people could go on and about with their day. So I'm going to wrap things up right now. If you've asked a question and I didn't get to it yet, I'm going to be saving the remaining questions, and I'll send you a personal email, or someone on from my team will, in the next few days with a response to your question. If you're ready to get control of your life back and start converting free to paid, please go to convertingfreetopaid.com/bonus. Remember to enter bonus in within the next 3 hours, so you'll be able to save $50, and you'll get a coupon code for a free ticket to attend my Earn More Doing Less summer training program. Thank you for being here with us today. I hope that you found this session to be valuable. Remember to practice awesomeness daily.